Well, I want to thank everybody for being here today, and also want to recognize the land that we're on, the Miwok, Nisenan, Potawatomi people, being able to have this press conference here today. This week, we'll commemorate those we have lost to the MMIP crisis and the loved ones, the victims left behind. Sadly, California ranks fifth in the nation in the number of unresolved cases and cases being investigated. Later this morning, our speakers and others at this news conference will participate in a joint hearing of the Assembly Budget Subcommittee number 6 on Public Safety and the Select Committee on Native American Affairs in room 437 at 10 a.m. We will touch on topics of history and drivers of missing and murdered Indigenous people, Indigenous women. Also topics of community impact, barriers to navigating an MMIP crisis, and also solutions to reduce and address the incidents of missing and murdered Indigenous persons, Indigenous women. That will be at 10 o'clock in room 437. Then at 6 p.m. tonight, we will hold a program and a vigil for the missing at the vigil, where we will be joined by the first partner, Jennifer Sebel Newsom. She is a strong advocate in confronting the issues in Indian country, in particularly the missing and murdered Indigenous person, Indigenous women's crisis that's plaguing the state of California. In California, we are building momentum in this battle, partnering with the Attorney General, the administration, the governor, and the first partner. Our state administration and legislature have approved additional resources and created new tools, such as the Feather Alert. A Feather Alert went out yesterday. That's how important these bills and these topics are. We also want to continue to alert to aid tribal and state local law enforcement in working together and tackling the complexities of Public Law 280. This is a strong momentum, but we can't rest. The National Institute of Justice reports that 85% of Native women experience violence in their lifetime. 56% have experienced sexual violence, and 75% of them experience it more than once in their lifetime. These are staggering statistics that needs to continue to be brought up in the state of California and across our nation. Tribes must overcome a deep and long-standing history of inattention to not only missing and murdered Indigenous person crisis, but also other issues that plague Indian country and here as California's first people. In 2016, the National Crime Information Center reported 5,712 missing American Indian and Alaska Native women and girls in the United States, but only 116 of those cases were logged by the National Missing and Unidentified Person System. We must do better in making sure that we're bringing our loved ones home, being more proactive before they become a statistic with the missing and murdered Indigenous people. California tribes have moved forward to self-declare states of emergency around this crisis. We call on the state of California to acknowledge these declarations of emergency and declare a crisis also. So today, let's listen to those affected by this crisis, and we will hear from their true stories. We would like to bring up to the podium for to be able to say a few words. First, we'll have Wilton Rancheria Tribal Vice Chair Raquel Williams.
Good morning, everyone. It's never easy to speak on this topic. It's never easy because of the fact that it's our people. It's never easy because it almost feels like people don't react or have a solution as fast as we want it to. So thank you to the people who have been the front runners and the people on the ground, the grassroots folks, doing their job in Indian country, bringing these things to light, but also to advocating for us on a continuum. Thank you to the tribal leaders here who continue to support these efforts. Thank you to Assemblyman Ramos for being one of those folks who we can lean on in the time of need and in the time of when we need help. But also, too, for us to be reminded that when one of our folks go missing, it's not just ours, it's everybody's. It's everybody's problem. It's everybody's issue. And for us to be able to come together in a solution-based mindset, and for us to be able to do this in a good way, but also, too, to do it in a time where we were never thought about. And so it's one of those things to where there's a lot of work to be done, but I'm grateful and I'm thankful for the people who are here. And in this time that we're in, I know that there's other people that need to be heard and other people that need to be seen. And so anytime that it's needed of us, we're always willing to help and we're ready. But I want to thank Chairman James for spearheading this and for us to be able to find a solution in a timely manner, in a quick pace. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. And next we'll bring up Hamul, Indian Village Tribal Government Chairwoman Erica Pinto.
She looks like she walked away for a minute.
Okay. All right, so we'll wait to hear from the chairwoman. Next will be Torres Martinez, Desert Cahuilla Tribal Government Chairman Thomas Tortoise.
Thank you, Assemblyman. Mewin, Omo Memum, Neto Saos Pakik. So, several hundred years, we are still here, and several hundred years, it brings us to this point today because this has been happening for hundreds of years. Our relatives being murdered, being missing. And the reason that we're here today are many, the reasons. We want to say that, you know, our murdered relatives are because of the historical trauma. Our missing relatives are because of systemic racism. And they are not found because of the inadequate support services, the lack of resources. Our missing and murdered relatives, our cousins, our aunts, and our uncles, are because of the jurisdictional issues between the tribal, state, and federal authorities. Also including social economic disparities faced by tribal communities. Although we're here and all of our efforts are to resolve our missing murdered relatives, includes all of our activism, our advocacy campaigns. We're thankful for the assemblymen and everyone involved for policy initiatives and legislation passed and raising awareness, but we need to include improving data collection, sharing that data, and providing better support services for all of the families involved. As was said earlier, it's not just one person. When one person is missing, it's the entire community that's affected. So we need to hold the perpetrators accountable. And saying that, much more needs to be done today, tomorrow, to combat missing, murdered Indigenous relatives. So it's important to hear, to listen to the people that are speaking today, to bring the awareness, and all of our efforts will be focused towards stopping the violence towards Indigenous peoples. I want to say thank you for giving me the honor to speak today. Achima, aloha.
Thank you so much for that. And now we'll hear from Hamul, Indian Village Tribal Government Chairwoman Erica Pinto.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hauka, good morning. It's always good to see my relatives here, my brothers, my sisters. I saw the women walking across the street over here as I went to go get my coffee. But, you know, when I come here today, every year, it's always kind of like a solemn day. A solemn day, but also a good day, if that makes sense. Because we're here to bring awareness, as we do continue to need awareness, but we're also here to remember our relatives who have gone, our relatives who are missing. And we're here to make sure that our relatives are brought home once and for all. So I want to say today, when I think about MMIP, and it affects all of us in one way or another, When I think of MMIP, missing and murdered Indigenous persons, I often ask myself, what is the root cause? What is that root cause? And why do our people continue to go missing? And I can sit here and I can quote statistics. I could sit here and say, well, it's because, you know, we're impoverished here. What is the root cause? And we need to address that root cause, because when I think about it, food insecurity, anti-LGBTQ, 2S plus, inadequate health care, inadequate roads, inadequate housing, access to poor doctors. So when I think about MMIP and the root causes, what is beneath all of those things that I just mentioned? Sir, colonialism, historic trauma. Until we begin to heal those pains and those traumas in ourselves, then we're going to continue to face this, unfortunately. So it's up to us as individual tribal leaders, elders, community members, youth, heal ourselves, treat each other kindly. It's that lateral violence that I do see a lot as well. Lateral violence, lateral oppression, lateral racism. We need to stop that. We need to stop that and come together, and we need to find a solution. We need to heal ourselves and our communities. I thank you for allowing me to speak today, Assemblymember Ramos, but I also always want to acknowledge it is these tribal leaders, it is Assemblymember Ramos, it is a Native American caucus who have given us this platform, who have used their voices in the assembly. And so I thank you all for being here today, and let's heal each other, please, please, please.
Thank you so much for that. Now we'll hear from Yurok Tribal Government Chairman Joe James.
Good morning. Ayikwi, Nick Now, Joseph James, Chairman of the Yurok Tribe. I come from the village of Shrigon, located on the lower Klamath River. Before I get started, you know, this is always heavy, but it's something that is what we do as tribal leaders, what we do as a traditional spiritual people, what we do as Indian people. We look after each other, take care of one another. It is our responsibility here today and for our lifetime to look after our brothers and sisters, to heal, love one another, and take care of each other. That's what we're always taught as Indian people, traditional people. And again, as a to the families that have been impacted, that have lost loved ones, their brothers and sisters, I feel you, I see you, and I hear you. We are in this for the long haul. It is our job. It's our oath. Our heart is with you. The Yurok Tribe and the California Tribes have been working for decades to address public safety, justice, and the epidemic of missing and murdered Indigenous people. California has the largest populations of Native Americans of any state, United States, and the fifth largest caseload of missing and murdered Indigenous people. When I hear that, think about that. The fifth largest caseloads of murdered and missing Indigenous people. The fifth largest caseload in the United States here in California. When I hear that over and over, it's a stat, it's a data, I go, you let that sink in, whether here or your home with your loved ones. That could be my daughter. That could be any one of us here today. You know, we don't want that to grow. And that's why we're here today. We are here to provide clear solutions to these crises that the legislature and administration must adopt in 2024, and we deeply appreciate the platform elevation of our calls for action. I want to thank Assemblymember Ramos and his colleagues, the governor, the attorney general. It takes all of us. You look around here, this is the team, and it's growing, and it needs to grow to combat this crisis. Some of the solutions and call for actions that must be passed within the state. I wanted to highlight a number of bills that we have been all working on, spearheaded by the Assemblymember Ramos and his colleagues, that are solutions and are call for action to address this MMA crisis. There's not one call of action that's going to fix it. as his sister just mentioned, from Southern Cal. What is the root of it? Everything plays a factor into this, and we're bringing these solutions forward. I want to highlight some bills. If you want to look to help, contact your local county. Include awareness, create MMA policies, contact your board of supervisors, declare a state of crisis of emergency if that is there. Support the Feather Alert. Some of the bills that we are working on collectively as a whole is AB 2108, to require the notification of tribes and other essential parties when children go missing from the foster care placements. Another one is AB 1862, to strengthen the Feather Alert system. Brother here, Simon Ramos, just mentioned, we had a Feather Alert. You know, I think about that as when I was a young boy. We didn't have that, a Feather Alert, back at home. And then I'm glad that individuals was brought home and found. But that is another tool in our toolbox that we're using to combat this crisis. Again, AB 1862 to strengthen the Feather Alert system. Also, AB 2279 to create an MMIP bureau at the California DOJ. Also, AB 2138 to create a pilot program for tribal police officer status. It's not by accident these things are happening on Indian country. Lack of law enforcement, lack of resources, ruralness, poverty. These predators are preying on us at home. And these are solutions and bills that must be changed to address this crisis. AB 2944 to create a Red Ribbon Commission on MMIP. AB 1187, tribal housing. And also SB 1187. With that, I want to thank Assembly Ramos and his colleagues. I want to thank our tribal leaders. I want to thank everybody watching. And more importantly, I want to thank the people that have been in the trenches for decades to combat this crisis, and the families that are dealing with this, that are looking for closure and still trying to heal. When one of us is hurt, all of us are hurt. And again, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Chairman, and thank you to the Yurok people for leading conferences and bringing attention to the missing and murdered Indigenous person, Indigenous women crisis. So thank you to the Yurok Nation for continuing to raise that voice of our people. Next, we have from the Wilton Tribal Court, Chief Judge Christine Williams.
Thank you. Aikwi, thank you for having me here today. The missing and murdered Indigenous people's crisis is a human rights crisis. It's a justice system crisis, and it's a public safety crisis. And when it affects one of us, as we've said here today, it affects us all. That's the bad news. But the good news is that we can create solutions that will bring us all up together. When we make Native Americans safe, we make everyone safe. When we make Indian country safe, we make that territory, that space safe for everyone. And so today, I could talk about how tired I am of feeling invisible as a Native woman in my own state of California. I could talk about all the statistics, the anecdotes that hit us all way too close to home. But instead, I'm gonna focus on solutions. I'm gonna focus on collaboration and opportunities, because there's a lot that we can do. We've created some really great tools already. The work that's been done, thank you so much for being a leader, the only one from our nations here in California representing us all. But we have allies, and we're working together, and we're making real progress. But the solutions I see, they're working in silos. We don't have a way to coordinate these resources to really maximize the effects that they could have. All of the bills that are coming up, I hope they all pass. But we need a way to make sure that all of the different systems are coming together, because this isn't just law enforcement's fault. This isn't just tribal courts. This isn't just state courts. This is everybody coming together to fix this. It's a lot of work. We need to fully fund and implement task force that are focused specifically on MMIP within the Attorney General's office. We need to create liaisons and investigators that are dedicated just to this, to help our victims, our families who are navigating this, go through this process and not create more trauma for them, because it's so difficult to navigate, but to see a real resolution and an end to the intergenerational trauma that we have. We need to support and implement joint jurisdiction courts. We need more tribal courts so that they can partner with our state courts, and we can create better, faster, stronger, more innovative outcomes for families, for victims, and for perpetrators, because they're still in our communities. People come back to us, and if they go away into the incarceration system, they come back even more broken and more damaged. So I'm here to call everyone to action today and hopefully bring some hope, because I do see a better world coming. And I want to thank you so much for making us all feel a little less invisible every single day that you represent us. It means a lot. Thank you. Wokla.
Well, thank you so much. And we also did have last night, where we had the Attorney General, Rob Bonta, speaking, but also he moved forward with a prosecution of a murder against a Pitt River tribal member. And I want to recognize the family here today with Theodore Martinez and those from the Pitt River Nation, ultimately bringing justice. The person that perpetrated that murder got 26 years to life, ultimately bringing that voice of California's First People now front and center. So I just want to recognize the family. And also with the California Native American Legislative Caucus, we continue to work together, Senate and Assembly, in a bipartisan fashion with Republicans and the Houses of the Assembly and Senate working together. Senator Alvarado Gill went out on her own to do a listening tour within the tribal nations. She's here today to share a few words.
Good morning. I'm Senator Marie Alvarado Gill, and I have the great honor of representing the 4th Senate District, encompassing the lands of the first California people, the Paiute, the Chichansi, the Washoe, Miwok, Shoshone, Mono, and Yokuk people. There are 15 federally recognized nations in Senate District 4, and many more are still struggling for recognition. Nearly 14% of California Native tribes are in the Eastern Sierras, Central Valley, and Northern Sierras of California, which I represent. As Assemblymember Ramos mentioned, during the legislative spring recess, I went on a 10-day journey throughout Indian country, where I visited with 11 tribal nations, two of those who are currently fighting at the federal level to be acknowledged as California's First People. I listened to Native Californians telling me about their history, their culture, their traditions, and as stewards of California policy, as an elected representative of public service in California, I know that it's critical that we gain a greater understanding of the sovereign nations of Indian country and how our governments are intersecting or not. I also listen to tribal leaders, many of who are here today, talk about the challenges that they are facing in their sovereign nations, including the impacts of Public Law 280 and the numerous unsolved cases of missing and murdered Indigenous people. I know that we must do better, and it starts with working towards ensuring that no one in California has to be present here to talk about their loved ones, their ancestors, their family members who have no justice and who have not come home. While I have witnessed the commendable leadership of each tribe in my district to protecting the voice of Native Americans and the ancestral lands, there is much work that needs to be done, and I stand here today as an ally in the state Senate, not only to follow and support the Native American Caucus, but the priorities of Assemblymember Ramos and our tribal nations. Thank you all for your dedicated participation here today and for being here to extend your voice and your empathy. As a member, as a mother, there is no sleep, there is no resting, knowing that someone has victimized your child without justice and without the ability to bring them home. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much, and we do know that Assembly members were here and had to run to some of their committee hearings. Assembly Member Eduardo Garcia, Assembly Member Tasha Berner, and also Avelino Valencia is here with us today. Give them a round of applause there. This is a bipartisan caucus, and we want to recognize Assemblymember Marie Waldron representing her area.
Thank you. And it is indeed an honor to be a member of the Native American Caucus. We are doing a lot of work. Over the 12 years that I've been in the Assembly, I have heard the voices of our nation's first people rise and rise and rise. And I think we're at the point right now where people are listening. And it's very important that you continue that cry, because in the 12 years that I've been here, it is frustrating that we cannot do more to help resolve this issue. And we need to figure out what the problems are and why we're not dealing with it effectively. I represent San Diego County, East County, which is basically the most backcountry rural section of that area. I have 18 tribal governments in my district, which is basically the most tribal governments in any county in California. We have also the border of the United States with Mexico. So we have a lot of issues out there in the rural backcountry. As Chairwoman Pinto pointed out, the lack of resources out there, the lack of health care, the lack of services really impacts a lot of the problems that we face out there. And we need to come to the root cause of what the problems are. And we need to address it. It's enough talk, it's time for action. And I have authored this year Assembly Bill 2944, which sole purpose is to have the governor be authorized to appoint a Red Ribbon panel to look specifically at the missing and murdered indigenous people issue, to try to solve what are these problems, figure out where the shortfalls are, and then address them, bringing together tribal leaders from across the state and law enforcement so that we can take action on it. That bill right now is currently in Assembly Appropriations. Anyone who could send an email, write a letter, or support is really important right now, because we need to get that bill out so that we can get moving on it and get it to the Senate side. So I want to thank everyone that has been working so hard on this issue for so long. We need to continue to have the voices rise and the remembrance of those who have suffered for so long. So I urge your support. I continue to pray for you and ask for courage as we face all these issues and we march forward to victory. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much and truly for coming to this press conference to hear firsthand from tribal leaders from throughout the state, but also colleagues here in the Senate and in the Assembly. And again, the issue of California's First People, and in particular the missing and murdered indigenous persons crisis that's been plaguing California Indian people, it's not something new that has been plaguing Indian country here in the state of California. We grew up with the missing and murdered indigenous people around us. This is generations and generations. Now, actually, what's going on is that awareness and that cry is being heard by the state legislature, with bills being implemented, creating the Feather Alert, bills moving forward to try to create that true policing authority that Congress pulled away through Public Law 280. And Public Law 280 was a law that was instituted that stripped six states of the tribal government's true policing authority. California is one of those. And that Public Law 280 law was not created to protect Indian people. It was created to protect the outside community from the Indian people themselves. So it's a law that has to be reversed and adhered to make sure that justice is being served for all in the state of California, and that includes California's First People. I want to thank you for being here at this press conference. We are going to follow up with a hearing at 10 o'clock touching on these issues with the main topic, why is California number 5 of all the states in the nation of not even investigating or bringing resolve to the missing and murdered indigenous people's crisis here in the state of California? Thank you for attending.